And they're like, yeah, hey, no. welcome back to the United States. And like, what shift did you think you want to be on? I'm like, okay. Oh, hey, it'd be great to be on day shift for like a little while, you know, so I can enjoy life. And they're like, yeah, okay, we already have you on night, so just making sure you're good with that. I'm like, well, why even ask then?
Hey, welcome to the Make a Lounge podcast, the self-proclaimed best new podcast on the planet. I am Matt with Voltner Woodworking and your host of the Make a Lounge podcast, where we have a rotating group of makers hanging out and talking craft to each other. Thanks for hanging out in the lounge with us. Today, I'm flipping the script on the guys from the Soda Station podcast. They're used to questioning me, but in the words of Abduwali, a Somali pirate, I'm the captain now.
I like
that. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us on, man.
Awesome, man. Can't wait.
So,
what do we do?
Really intrigued.
I've never been on you a don't podcast know what to, before.
Yeah, normally you're the ones having to question me. But it's an honor to have you guys. You've had me on your podcast a number of times. So I thought it very fitting to have you guys on. And I know we're recording this in the past, but it's Veterans Day today. Did you know that?
I mean,
it is.
Look at Nick's face.
Yeah, he's like, totally. Wait,
I had to work today.
I had to work today. That sucks.
Son of
this is BS. It gypped us.
No, I wanted to have you guys on for a special Veterans Day podcast just to honor you and honor all veterans. So thank you guys for your service. And thank you, most of you, for being listeners of the Make a Lounge podcast. And for most of you, you know, having followed prior to today. You knew it was coming.
Josh. I did. It must have been that glitch in Instagram. I'm telling you, that's what happened.
I blame that too.
Yeah. So I heard you guys talking about in one of your episodes, you mentioned this podcast, and I appreciate that. So thank you for that support. And you mentioned that you liked the game Yes or No. So I think we'll get a round of that in tonight.
Heck yeah. Okay.
So we'll play a round of that. I also have another game that hopefully we can get to. Just to, you know, make it fun. Yeah.
You gotta turn the lights off. Game? Play Who's in My Mouth?
What's in My Mouth?
Does it involve clothing coming off? Because I'm drinking, so we're good.
Get a bottle.
Don't stand up, Nap.
So you guys have had me on the podcast before. Sawdust Nation podcast is where the podcast is at. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I just saw a feather fly across Nap's. See? There it is. Sorry, did you see it? There's like feathers flying around.
Yep.
What's going on there?
Well, you see.
It was like a feather when you got it.
Well, I mean, so I did go hunting, you know, I'll talk about that later, but I went hunting. Might have sat in my chair with my hunting clothes on. It might have happened. Slayed some animals.
So. Nice. I went hunting a couple weeks ago.
Thanks for the invite, dude.
Yeah, it was a work invite, so I was the guest. But yeah, it was awesome. First time ever hunting, be honest.
Really?
So yeah, never hunted before. I've shot things, but never anything that was moving. So that was fun. Now I'm kind of hooked. Now I'm like,
what'd you think?
Wait.
Yeah,
we had Benelli 12 gauge shotguns, and I probably shot off probably 700 rounds in a couple days.
Oh, wow. On one hunting trip? Oh, geez, man. Yeah, how many birds did you kill?
We hit. We did Skeet the first day. So they had 10 stations that we went to, and you got to do, what was it, 5 rounds of double shots. So that's 10. So, yeah, 10 for each station. That was 100 at least there. And and then we did a knockout. You guys familiar with knockout?
Yep.
So we did a round. So I won. I won first place in the second round of knockout. That's right, your boy. Even though I'm not a veteran, I can still shoot. And then we went pheasant hunting the next day, and we did a couple rounds of that. That was fun.
What did you say last night, Nap? If it flies, it dies?
Yep.
He said a lot of things last night, which is
funny. Last night was a hoot. I'm telling you what. I'm not going to repeat half the stuff I said last night, but I'll talk about some of the things I said last night.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to listen to that episode yet, but I had been listening to a couple of the other episodes, and I have a question on episode 122. Who was clicking the pen the whole time?
Me.
That guy right there. If I can just, like, point to Nick, if this is
that you got it
or showing Nick.
Yeah. Dude, the clicking the whole time.
Well, he's like this. This is. Hang on. Let me just go ahead and do this.
I have a nervous tick.
You forget. You gotta chew rocks. You gotta have some bolts in your freaking hand to throw around. I swear, like, something heavy drops every episode. Like, every time I'm editing, I know when Nick's talking just because I hear all the background noise.
I do my best to minimize that, but I can't help it.
So, that's right.
I'm sorry, guys.
That's why I ended up getting the boom stand. Because I was actually doing the recording with Dean and Joseph, and they had boom stands. And when I was editing that episode, the only person I had to keep muting out was me, because my mic was on the desk. And so episode number six, I ended up getting the boom, and it's been awesome.
Yes.
Anyway, enough about me. Josh, tell me about your week. We don't have to do the whole, like, what's in your shop thing, but just tell me about your week.
It's been busy between work and the shop and family. I mean, it was Halloween not too long ago. And then, you know, I have a bunch of orders and stuff like that trying to catch up on. And bigger order than I'm used to. I'm doing a very large retirement trunk, which is my first one. So I'm pretty excited about that. So with that and a bunch of 3D printing, I'm keeping busy.
Nap, how was your week?
So the week's long, and it's going to only get longer for me. So funny thing about the military is they like to do random exercises. So I've been regular shifts up until today. Tomorrow I start my 7-to-7 shifts all the way through Sunday, maybe Monday as well. I'm not really sure when it ends, but 12 hours at work. Awesome.
Yay. So what do you do for 12 hours?
Believe it or not, actually. So I typically stay at work from 7 to like 5, maybe sometimes 6 o'clock, just because I have stuff I have to get done. A lot of it's like paperwork type stuff, making sure, like, we have like what's called programs. So it's just like all the stuff that is in the background that most people don't typically see outside of the work, like has waste, has materials and things like that, like ordering that stuff, making sure you have the right SDSs, all the stuff that like most shops for the woodworker probably doesn't have, like a nice book that says SDS on it with all the chemicals in it. Mm-hmm. But we deal with that kind of stuff, supply chain management. I'm ordering like thousands of dollars of parts each day for equipment and all these things. Actually, the biggest piece was an $800,000 piece that goes on an aircraft. That was fun. That was not fun. Just a bunch of stuff, really. Like, just a bunch of program type stuff. All background stuff that people don't, like I said, normally see.
It's hard to imagine that they could work you for 12 hours and get productivity out of you for a full 12 hours. Josh, do you do 12-hour shifts?
It's kind of different for the shifts and stuff when I'm flying. When you fly, depending on like deploy location or even home station, it could go from, you know, a 6-hour flight to a 12-hour flight. But then you show up, you know, 4 hours prior to the flight, you stay after 2 to 3 hours after. So you tack all that in. Sometimes you're, you know, it's a regular 8 hours. Sometimes it's, you know, 16. When I was a maintainer, 12 hours was typically the norm, much like Nap is dealing with. They would love to be like on Monday, be like, hey, you guys are work through the weekend in 12s.
Wow.
So it is what it is. It's like the military loves going on 12s for whatever reason. It's a little different with my current job, though. So.
Yeah. Nick, what about you?
Pretty lucky.
You do 12s?
Not anymore. Used to do them all the time. I spent years on 12s. Probably like 14 years on 12s.
Wow.
That sucked.
Yeah.
So they're always like, especially when you come back from a deployment, you're like, oh man, I can't wait to get back stateside and enjoy some of the good life, right? And they're like, welcome back to the United States. Okay, what shift did you think you want to be on? I'm like, it'd be great to be on day shift for like a little while, I can enjoy life. And they're like, we already have you on night, so just making sure you're good with that. I'm like, well, why even ask then?
Yeah, I think like, so for people like me who are totally uneducated on like what you do in the service, right? Like most people think, hey, yeah, you go out, you train, you're doing pushups, you're working out, and then you go out and you get deployed, you're shooting things, right? But that's not what it is. Yeah, that's right. You get buff like Nat.
No.
But that's not what it is at all. I mean, a lot of the times it's just, I mean, you're doing paper pushing kind of stuff too, right?
So
absolutely.
So all that sounds incredibly boring. What's the most exciting, Josh? What's the most exciting thing that you've experienced in your service?
Exciting?
Yeah.
Well, being a flyer has been extremely exciting when it comes to different things. I've flown on multiple different aircraft as part of my career. And with that comes different challenges and different things that, you do. The most exciting though.
Yeah. It's an hour long episode.
we'll go ahead and say, one of my deployments, we had chicks in tow, which is basically having a couple fighters, that were refueling off us to get to a certain location. And they were pretty high ranking individuals. So we already knew something was about to happen. And, basically, long story short, we end up kicking off an entire campaign on that flight. And we were not the first to know about it, but I mean, like, we got some details about it and it happened and like we came back and it was pretty fascinating. But I mean, like that's just part of the game, you know, we get to do and see some really fun stuff, but there comes with it the, you know, negative side that a lot of people don't get to see. And that's long hours, you know what I'm saying? Right. Droning, stuff like that. And then, you know, a little bit of danger here and there.
Are you doing these things where the one plane is flying above and refilling the other plane and they have the,
what you're doing. Currently in a KC-10, and we're a refueler. So we pass gas to other aircraft. So we got a big,
so you're a professional boom. Gas passer.
I am.
Yep. Okay. That's impressive.
He pumps gas for a living. Let's put it that way. Okay.
Yeah. Have you ever had a leak
in a cool way?
Have you ever had a leak when you're passing gas?
So there's multiple positions in the aircraft and, where I sit was up front and I deliver the gas. I push the gas, but there is a position called the boom operator that actually connects the boom to the other aircraft. And there has been a couple of times where we had some leaking issues, but, it was resolved.
Where the windshield gets covered in gasoline.
I mean, like there's multiple procedures and stuff. Obviously you train for all of it. So it's not. It has never been bad enough where our hose was leaking. It just a couple sprays here and there that shouldn't have happened.
There's an account that I followed because at one point Instagram suggested one of those videos to me. And this one account, it's one of those filling, I don't know what you call it. Anyway, I'm civilian here.
AR.
So yeah, it's just videos of them filling, but they put it to different music and stuff like that. It's super satisfying to watch. I don't know. It's just so cool. All the different aircraft you get to see.
Yeah. That's one thing is we get to see all different branches. In the KC-10, I'm not going to get too far into it because I mean, it's woodworking and all, but, it's very versatile. So we can go from doing one style of refueling to another that most planes can't do. And because we get to get a lot of receivers and get to be a part of a lot of very interesting stuff. So.
Yeah. Cool. Nap, yeah. What about you?
So this one's twofold, but both of them are pretty quick. So the first one was on also a deployment. So a lot of the cool stuff happens on deployments. It just does. That's when we get to take all the training that we – all the boring training stuff we did stateside that we're like, what the hell are we doing this for every day, day in and day out, to when you get to actually put it into action. So when I was a staff sergeant, I got to – you know, I was a team chief. So that was like the head of a crew. And I had two guys that worked for me, and we would load jets to go, well, do the job, we'll just say.
Yeah.
We got a short notice tasking that there was a high value target, and they're like, okay, we need a crew to load this thing as fast as humanly possible, but safely. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I want to do that. Like that sounds like a me thing. And that's, it happened to be five 2,000 pound bombs. Now, mind you, these are going on a bomb lift truck that's got I'm going to say maybe a 12 by 12 table with some rollers on it. And you literally pick this thing up off a trailer, drives the jet, lock it in. So this typical load tip, it should take 45 minutes. It took me 29 minutes to load it. And the first question I did ask was, are the QA people around? Because to be fair, like, the load was super easy.
Yeah.
It was put this in there, put the things that punch it off in, hook up the cable, send her on her way.
Yeah.
So we load that some bitch in 29 minutes. It got off the ground, went and did its mission. And we'll just say the number two on the list doesn't exist anymore because of it. And that was pretty cool at the time. Mm. And then the second thing I'd say was really cool that highlights just more of a me thing rather than a whole Air Force thing was I got to fly in an F-15E. So the same jet that I got to load. Nice. I got to fly in the back of it for like a 45-minute sortie, which is what they call a flight. Got to pull 8.2 Gs. It was probably one of the most exciting things in my entire career. Because I'll probably never get to do it again. It was one of those once in a lifetime type things. So
that's cool.
Yeah, those would be the two best things I think I've done in the military thus far. Ooh,
cool. Well, Nick, I'd ask you, but Nap already did too. So
hit the bell. Do me, hit the bell. Nick in this 20-foot container, right? And no shit, I'm in Afghanistan, and it's like we're really getting into it, and the next thing you know, the true story, but I'll tell you one you can put on the air. So I was in Afghanistan, and I believe it was 2011, December, Christmas Eve. And the clock just rolled over to Christmas Day. And I know the Taliban or Al-Qaeda, whoever was out there, was waiting for that clock to hit midnight because I'm sitting in the chow hall. And we just start taking rockets over and over and over again. It lasted for like, I want to say 30, 45 minutes of steady, like every 5-10 minutes, like, here comes another one.
Are they hitting close to you?
Nah, they're just like point and shooting from like a couple miles away, hoping to hit the base.
Okay.
But I mean, some got some pretty, you know, every now and then they get lucky and they hit something that's, well, they'll actually like hurt somebody, kill somebody. That's if they're really lucky. But if they're, they were really aiming at like the airplanes and stuff like that. A lot of times though, it was kind of funny because they would overshoot the base, and this is at Bagram, so it's, you're in a giant dust bowl. They'd prop that rocket up, that rocket tube or the rocket up against something, and it was at the wrong trajectory, so they'd shoot it over the base and kill a bunch of civilians on the other side of the base. So I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like, maybe some math. I don't know. Anyway, but that's about that.
Science.
That's horrible.
Yeah. I had one land. I'd say like the closest call I ever had was I had one land on the other side of a T-wall for me. And the T-walls are just cement barriers. Mm-hmm. But that was loud. That was pretty loud.
Yeah.
The ground shook a little bit. A little bit. Yeah.
Jeez. I can only imagine.
Oh, and then I got to tell you one more thing. So like when you're laying in bed at night and you hear the alarm go off, the first time you're in country, like the very first time, you're like, oh, got to get to the bunker, get my stuff, you know? By the end of the deployment, you're like, well, if I die, it's my time. And you just go roll over and go back to sleep.
Yeah, it's like when you get a new job. You get a new job and you're all excited to go to work or whatever. So you jump up right away. And then pretty soon, as you get later in your career, you just keep hitting snooze and snooze. I'll get there when I get there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, well, the bunker's probably full right now, but I'm warm in here, so I think I'll be okay.
I'm comfy. I got good music now.
Right.
I put my headphones on.
Anyway.
I'm rolling over.
Oh, geez.
Sorry.
But
yeah.
Well, that's cool. I would love to do an entire kind of episode talking about that kind of stuff. But I do want to make sure that we tie it back to like business and kind of what is going on in the woodworking stuff. Right. I think now's a good time to start playing. Yes or no. What do you think?
Yeah. Should Josh leave the podcast?
All right. Nick, are you pretending to be frozen or are you really frozen?
Yeah,
yes, he is.
Okay. I am. He's really good at that.
Being a jerk. What's funny is I could see the screen behind you moving, so I knew that you weren't.
Yeah. Hey, easy now.
All right, let's play a game. You guys heard it in the first couple episodes. It's called Yes or No, and you have two options: yes or no. You can take a you can take a hard pass. You can take one hard pass. I don't have as many questions for this one because I've got another game that I might want to play. Whoa.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Hey.
Yes or no?
Let's go Nick, Nap, Josh, because that's the way you are on my screen. Mm-hmm. Nick, Nap, Josh. Okay, ready? Taking a vacation day from your job to finish a project.
No.
Yes.
Yes. So you haven't taken a vacation day just to finish? Like, you didn't have a big deadline or something that you had to finish?
Oh, no. Usually we have enough time. I can work around my schedule pretty well. Because I only work 8 hours a day, if that, so.
Ah.
I'm typically home around 4:30, and I can get the job done in the evening, unless I have a podcast.
Yeah. And so, Nap, you just basically put off, or are you that much of a planner that you don't put yourself into that position?
We'll go with two different answers here. The first one was when I was in San Antonio. I was in Nick's situation.
Ah.
That's what it was, and I could stay up as long as I wanted. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Here, planning, honestly, is what it is for me. Like, I told these guys during one of the episodes, I only take so many jobs a month.
Right.
And that's it. There is no wiggle room. Because if I take more than I can handle here,
you're right,
my job will interfere with business.
Right. No, that's smart. All right. Nick, forgot this one might have come from you, actually. I think you might have given this suggestion before. Forgot to release bandsaw tension after use.
Yes. It's still.
Yes.
Yeah. I think mine is constant.
There's tension still on it.
Constantly under tension. However, I will say on Friday, I'm getting a new bandsaw.
Ooh. What are you doing with the old one?
I think I'm going to sell it. It's a Craftsman 10-inch bandsaw. So it's not great for like resawing and things like that. It's really got its limitations. By the time the stops and guides and everything kind of interfere, it's not great. It'll be good for small stuff, but then I've got a scroll saw or whatever for that. But yeah, mine is constantly under tension, but I don't know. That might be changing now that I have gonna have a more expensive bandsaw. So I'm getting the Harvey. The Harvey 15-inch with the tin coating. It looks sexy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, looks so good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Never did I think that I would say that a tool looks sexy, but that tool looks sexy.
All Harvey products are just clean.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Set your laser on fire.
Yes.
No.
No.
Some of these some of these might be targeted questions.
That's a move.
You should have known better.
I feel attacked.
You should have known better coming on this podcast. Don't worry, I have some more. rejected a job because you didn't like the customer. Oh, I didn't answer that one.
Yes.
But no on the laser. Rejected a job because you didn't like the customer.
Yes.
No, unfortunately.
Ooh. Okay. Interesting.
Mm. No.
Yeah. But you wish you did, both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Well, do you tell them straight up, like, hey, look, you're a douche. I don't like you, and I won't do this for you?
I've done it because I could tell that they were going to, and I talked about this on your guys' podcast at one point, the PETA charge, right? There wouldn't have been PETA. A PETA mm-hmm. charge that I could have charged these people. And so I had another job that was going to be behind theirs. And I just told them, hey, I can't take this job on right now because I've got too much, you know, in the queue. All right. This one's going to probably hurt somebody. You know, no feelings hurt. Okay. Josh, go first. Accidentally
feel targeted.
Oh, broken your toe doing a somersault.
No.
Oh, did I get it wrong?
It was a handstand.
Oh, a handstand. All right, rephrase the question. Broken your toe doing a handstand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Nick?
No, but I did do something to myself and told everybody else I did something else.
Oh. All right. Inquiring minds want to know.
Bill.
Oh, I think I know about this one.
I tried to send a coaster through the plana.
Oh.
Yes, I know this story.
4x4 square coaster came shooting out the same side it went in.
Yeah.
Hit me in the hand, and it fractured my finger.
Ouch. Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah.
Josh, you want to expound on your
answer? Nap remembers.
You want to expound on your answer?
Yeah.
We don't have to. We can take this part out.
Long story short. No, it doesn't faze me. Long story short, my son is doing karate, and he's getting to that point where he's just trying to do different stuff. And handstands were the new trademark he wanted to, you know, get good at. Yeah. So I'm actually fairly decent at the handstand, walking on the hands. And I haven't done it in a while, but he saw me do one, I don't know, like 6 months ago. And he's like, Dad, if I get, you know, so good, would you do one too? And I'm like, it's late in the day. And I'm like, you know what? If you do one for 10 seconds, I'll go up and do one.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't you know it? He nails it. He's up there for like 15 seconds right after I say it. And he's like, okay, your turn. And I'm like, oh man.
Oh boy.
So I go up, get my hands. I walked a little ways, but the way it's set up, we have like this like island right here. And when I came down, I wasn't far enough away from it, and I smacked it with my toe or my front half of my foot.
Jeez.
And I just thought it just, you know, hurt. And 3 days later, went to urgent care, and they're like, you're an idiot. You should have been here the day of because you broke your toe.
So. Wow. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Let's continue the regular discussion. That was fun. What'd you guys think of that?
Yeah,
that's awesome. Was it as it appeared in the episodes that you listened to that had it?
Yeah, I like it. It's good.
It's a fun little
segment.
Yeah. Nick, what is one piece of equipment that you don't have today that if you had it would make your job easier in the shop?
Oh, an employee.
That's a good answer. That is a good answer. I'll give you that one.
Yeah, so I did dabble with having my brother help me.
Yeah.
And I mean, I paid it for his time, but having like somebody who knows what to do.
Right.
After like the processes and stuff like that, golly, that'd be like a force multiplier.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
You mean like?
Yeah, I meant like equipment. You know, like a piece of equipment. So to do what you do today, not like, oh, if I had, you know, a 20-inch. You know, whatever, like just whatever you do today,
like 20 inch,
yeah, 20 inch, whatever. What? I mean, no. You could do a lot of things with that. Hey. You could retire.
Yeah, well, I'd have back problems anyway.
You know, it's always nice to have a tripod in the shop.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't me holding
easy
the camera.
So, watch the YouTube people.
Anyways.
Unless you trip.
You know what? if I had a working CNC machine, so like the one I have, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, what's going on with that Avid?
Does that count? Is it
time that it's just to build it?
Mm-hmm. I don't have enough time to put it to finish it.
Yeah.
Which hopefully after the New Year rush or the Christmas rush, I will have some time. But like, I'm going to go ahead and say a larger planer.
Mm. Okay.
Damn you.
That could be a game changer for me that increase my capabilities, because as it stands, mine's only 13 inches wide.
Right.
So a lot of times if I'm doing larger flags and stuff like that, then I got to run them through half through separately and then put them together with dominoes.
Josh, what about you?
Tool. Yeah, it would have to be a larger joiner.
Joiner? Yeah.
Yeah, I got a 6-inch now. It would be nice to have a bigger one.
Yeah.
If I have actually been thinking about doing the whole planer joiner combo. I'm not big on the whole combo tools, but
right.
People that have them actually really do love them.
Yeah.
They're a little more pricey, but you can get like a 20-inch, and now you have, 20-inch planer and joiner.
Right.
So there might be something there. I won't be able to do it in this shop. So
right.
We'll see. Someday.
Yeah. Nap, what about you?
Well, Nick took the woodworking side, and that'd be the bigger planer.
Yeah.
But I will say, because I'm a man of trying to become mixed media instead of just wood,
yeah.
I wish I had one of those plasma CNCs.
Oh, yeah.
Just a dedicated, so I could do metal sheeting and those things. Because don't get me wrong, you can use a CNC for that, but I can be the first to tell you, trying to cut sheet goods that are metal on a freaking regular CNC, it's sketchy at best.
Right. I'd say for me, one of the things I'd love to have is a large scale printer that I could do like cornhole boards and stuff like that, print like on the actual wood.
Oh, vinyl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a plotter?
So, well, I have a vinyl plotter, but like a printer that would, so there are printers that can print on wood. So you don't have to go through the whole sublimation process or anything like that. There is a cornhole board company here in Houston that they can print right on the wood. It's amazing. I mean, you can do full on logos and stuff like that. And I wouldn't want to compete like in the cornhole board, space, because that's, I don't want to make cornhole boards for the rest of my life. Just like I don't want to make cutting boards for the rest of my life. But you could do
it. You could sell digital
art. Yeah, digital art and signs and stuff like that. So you wouldn't have to do it in multiple, like vinyl, spray paint, and all that kind of stuff. One question. So somebody had asked, I did a little bit of a live before we recorded tonight, and somebody had asked, it's Hill Country Woodshop. We did talk about this in another podcast, but it's always interesting because it's a question that comes up often in the content creator space. So Hill Country Woodshop asked, it's interesting to know how everyone balances work, life, and woodworking. So I know we talked about it briefly. You guys mentioned, how you can kind of get stuff done, but like add in that family element, right? Because you all have families. We all have families. How do you balance that?
So I got to say, it's tough. It's very tough, especially if you're doing woodworking part time to semi full time on top of your regular full time job. It gets to a point where you can definitely let things get out of balance.
Yeah.
And it would happen super, super easy. And then, people end up unhappy and that's when problems start. So make sure you build into your workload that time, consciously build in that time to spend with your family. Like for holidays, obviously, for like going to the pumpkin patch for in October. Like that's what I had to do. So
Nap.
That's the best way for me to do it, is consciously build it in.
Nap, what about you?
So the answer's two parts, because I'm coming from a space where I was extremely busy all the time to where now I'm not as busy.
Right.
So when I was in San Antonio with Nick, my wife worked nights. So a lot of our time was spent on the weekends. Mm-hmm. So I'd go grab my son from school. I'd spend time with him for like an hour or two, kind of like Nick does, you know, spends time with the kids and whatnot until they go to bed. My son was old enough at the time to where, like, I'd spend time with him, hang out, and then sometimes he'd even just come out to the shop with me, but other times he would sit there and watch whatever random crazy cartoons kids watch these days. Like, some of the stuff about it, what are you even watching right now?
Yeah.
But he would kind of, like, do his own thing. And then on the weekends, I would spend, well, a majority of my morning, so I would sacrifice that weekend sleeping, you know, mm-hmm. wake up, work up until, like, noon, and then I would stop. And then hang out with the wife and the kid. We'd go do something out in town or whatever. And then, as Nick would say, at like 7, 8 o'clock, I was non-existent again. So that building the time in was super important, especially in San Antonio, with the wife working all the time and whatnot.
Yeah.
Now here, it kind of goes back to, like, you know, I have a regular job now where it's very demanding of my time. So, like, for example, today, okay, so I came home at, we'll say 5 o'clock. 5:30 is when I got home. I did not go in the shop at all. I just hung out with, you know, my kid, played with him for a little while. The wife, you know, we talked. I decompressed from the day and whatnot. And now here I am doing this. But then after this, I'm not even going in the shop after this.
Yeah.
I'm going to go hang out with my family
right.
and do all that stuff. Now tomorrow, she knows when I get home from my 12-hour shift, I still have to finish something up. So I've already kind of told her, like, hey, I got to finish this stuff, so I probably won't be in the house. It's really just having that understanding.
Yeah.
With the spousal unit, if you will. Like, hey, you know I'm busy. You know I have the side business. I would say having a super strong support system is kind of the key mm-hmm. to being able to balance this stuff, because if they don't understand why you're doing what you're doing, it ruins the whole thing for not only yourself, but, well, the family.
Right.
So I'd say proper planning, balance, and just having a key support system. That's how I manage that time.
I think it's big, like, if this is something that you're doing to supplement your income, because, you know, you need the money, or you're trying to reach a goal as a family, I think that's a little bit different. But then I think some people find themselves that they just enjoy doing this, right? Like, I think a lot of the people that we encounter, they just enjoy doing this, and they tend to sacrifice family or work, you know, their full-time job, for something that they just enjoy doing. And I don't think it's worth it. You know, at the end of the day, you just have to kind of take inventory.
I would say, honestly, I'll tell you what, if I stopped enjoying this and the wife started, like, looking at me sideways mm-hmm. for as much as it would hurt me, I would sell my shop.
Yeah. Yep.
Honestly, I would,
yeah.
because it's not worth that. She's going to be here forever. Yeah. So
as long as you give up the woodworking. Yeah. Josh, what about you?
For me personally, there was a time where I was spending too much time in the mm-hmm. shop, and I had to take an inventory of what I was doing and kind of realize that I didn't know I was even doing
yeah.
it. I was just right. busy. And then I start taking a look around, and I'm like, you know, my kids are growing up in front of me. You know, I'm not really spending the time I want mm-hmm. to. And there's still days and even some weekends where it's like, I have to get orders out. And my, you know, my wife understands that. She's supportive. Even my kids understand it, at least my
right.
oldest. But I definitely try to build in that time. So for me, I can't really do too much at night. I get home from work, I go right into the shop, and I do as much as I can noise wise. That way, if I do need to do something, it could be like painting or something that's not going to generate much attention to. I live in a small community
right.
and I have people attached to me, and like, I have to be constant of like what's going on. There's crew rest issues. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I have to be careful of. So
yeah,
during the week, it's basically right from work. If I need to get in the shop, I do it until bedtime. Then I try to do bedtime with the kids, and then anything quiet, like tonight, I'd be actually doing some painting.
Okay.
And editing the podcast.
Yeah.
The weekends, I spend the mornings with them. I usually wake up with the kids. We'll make breakfast. We'll have breakfast. We'll watch a cartoon. If we have some event planned, whatever, we'll go do that. And then the afternoons, I'll go out and do what I can in the garage. I can go later during the weekends because the noise abatement is longer. and people understand, because, you know, there might be people doing fires and drinking, whatever.
Yeah.
And like, if I make a little bit of noise, I think I'd bother. I'm not going to run the CNC or anything crazy, but
with the garage door open,
that's one of the reasons the lasers. So
yeah.
So, I have great neighbors and I've had no issues. I try to keep it that way.
It's always nice if you give them a cutting board at Christmas. Stuff. You know, give all the neighbors a cutting board.
Yeah, you know, reduce prices. Right. But no, I mean, you got to build it in, yeah. And you have to have that support. Because if you don't have the support, then you're going to get issues there. And then if you don't build in time with the family, you're not going to even. They're going to grow up in front of you, and that was always working.
Yeah. So. For me, in 2017, I stopped the business altogether because my wife and I were just like crossing paths, and she was doing a side hustle. I was doing my business, and we never connected, and we went through a really rough patch. And, you know, because that leads into other things, you know, you start, if you're not there for your spouse, for your family, you know, let's say your kids, you're not there for your kids. Well, they're going to start looking for something to occupy that time. And that wasn't the case with me, but that does happen, you know, and your kids start getting into trouble and things like that. So I think it's, I'll say that, and I'm going to do a special episode basically on Instagram growth. I'm going to do it for the Patreons, and I'm going to talk about that. But ultimately what is important is not Instagram. I know people think that it is, and it's like, oh, I got to get to this next number and things like that. Yeah. Like at the end of the day, if Instagram went away, yeah, the side hustle business, you know, takes a major hit, but that's not what you signed up for when you said I do, or when you, you know, started having kids and things like that. So anyway, to answer that question, for thank you to Hill Country Woodshop for asking that question. I think it's important to talk about. You know, I'm happy to tell anybody that social media is not as important as we put it on this pedestal to be. Even this,
I know that guy, by the way.
Yeah, good guy. And it's not
excellent guy.
Not you know, here we are. We're doing a podcast. You guys recorded a podcast last night. You guys are probably tired of looking at each other, tired of hearing the same, you know, same stories over and over that I'm asking you probably the same thing you guys talked about last night. And then your wives are sacrificing, you know, because they're taking care of the kids while you're doing this podcast. So thank you guys for being on the podcast, you know, and taking that time out. And so make sure that you tell your wives that it's also appreciated from me as well. So speaking of which, I know I mentioned the doing that special episode on social media and my growth and what worked for me. It may not work for everybody, but I am going to do a special Patreon only episode. So if you're interested in that and you've been enjoying the podcast so far, consider subscribing as a patron. And I've got three different tiers for that. We have three new patrons this week. The first top tier patron was Jimmy McAnally, and so he got a free t-shirt. So I sent him his free t-shirt this week. So thank you, Jimmy, for sponsoring the podcast, being the first top tier patron. We also got another top tier patron, Matthew from Artigiano Sirio, and I'm probably really butchering that, and I apologize. But thank you for also being a top tier patron. We got another mid-level patron, Steve Mosley from Making It Home. A lot of you guys know him. He's a fantastic guy. I really enjoy my interactions with Steve. So thank you to all the patrons. If you're interested in getting additional access and content and hearing the episodes early, make sure that you check out the Patreon at patreon.com/MakerLoungePodcast. So thank you guys so much for being on the podcast. This has been awesome. Happy Veterans Day to you guys. Thank you for your service to our amazing country. And, you know, we wouldn't have the ability to sit here and talk freely if it weren't for what you guys do on a daily basis in your jobs. So thank you for that. I wish you guys all of the best of luck to your early retirements, hopefully soon, so you can get out there and make more sawdust. So let's go around one more time. And where can you guys be found? Nick?
Well, if you're looking to contact me, you can find me on Instagram at NPG Creations, or you could hit up the Sawdust Nation podcast Instagram as well, and you can find me there. So how about you,
Josh?
I'm located on Instagram, Facebook, and you can find me at North_Country_Woodworking. And then you can always check out my website at northcountryww.com. And either way, you get a hold of me, ask questions, and talk shop.
Nap.
Yeah. And then you can find me, Nap, at naps_naughty_works_LLC. That's like the main contact for me is my Instagram page. But also, like Nick said, you got the Sawdust Nation podcast page as well. If you have questions for me, specifically laser related, especially because that seems to be my big part with the Sawdust Nation podcast, is knowing laser things. Hit me up. I'm not going to hide from you, and I won't charge you a consultation fee.
Nice. And I'm Matt with Voltner Woodworking, and you can find me on all of these socials at Voltner Woodworking. It's a little bit different on TikTok. I always tell people, don't follow me on TikTok. I'm not a fan of TikTok. And then you can also follow the Maker Lounge podcast on Instagram at Maker Lounge podcast, as well as YouTube. Thank you for leaving a review of the podcast on your podcast streaming service, and leave some comments on the YouTubes just after you hit subscribe. So guys, thank you for joining me in the lounge today. It's always fun talking to you guys. I've always enjoyed being on your podcast. And so, this is kind of my way of being able to get back on your podcast, but just with me hosting this time. So thank you to the patrons for signing up for the Patreon account. And we are going to be doing continuing to do giveaways. I already gave away a T-shirt. I'm giving away a banner. By the time this episode airs, I'll have picked a winner, or we'll be doing it in the next day or so. For banners. So we've got banners now. And if you're on YouTube watching this, you can see the banner here. It's a 2x2 banner. It's got the Maker Lounge podcast logo. And then, of course, every patron gets stickers, because we know in the maker community that you're not a real maker unless you have stickers. So thank you so much for tuning into another episode of Maker Lounge podcast. Next week, we are going to have Dave, 3D Dave, on the podcast. So that's going to be an episode you're not going to want to miss. We're going to talk about all things 3D printing. So if that's something that you are doing, you want to learn a little bit more about, or something that you're interested in, it's always fun to make shop jigs and things like that with 3D printing. So we'll be talking to Dave. So I'm really excited to do that. Guys, thank you so much. All of the links that the guys mentioned, including the Make a Lounge podcast and Fulton Woodworking, will be listed in the notes where you're listening to this podcast. Thank you so much. Podcast. How do you guys say it? Podcast out.
Sawdust Nation out.
Out.
Makers Lounge podcast.
See, and you still can't get it right. Out. Maker.
Maker
Lounge
podcast. The Maker Lounge podcast.
Maker Lounge podcast, where you can listen and drink your coffee all at the same time.
All right.
And, yeah, listen to Matt whisper in your ears. I bet those whiskers tickle.
We're going to head over to the after show. So if you're interested in the listening to the after show, make sure that you become a patron. We didn't get a chance to squeeze the other game into this episode, but it is available for any Patreon member in the after show. So head on over to patreon.com/Maker Lounge Podcast and join us in the after show.